Start. Okay, good. We're good. Okay, so welcome back, everybody, or welcome for the first time. We've got, it's 8 o'clock. Yucky is a yucky. Okay, we're going to be starting today. We're going to be looking at the second chapter of the Book of Yonah. Just to remind people, you should have two handouts, one that looks like this and one, a single page that looks like this. Extra credit if you can identify the picture at the bottom of the text, where it's from. But we'll talk about that later. So if you recall from last week, Yonah is sent on a mission. God tells him, go to Nineveh because they're really bad. He doesn't tell him what he's going to say, but go to Nineveh because they're really bad. And Yonah says, I'm not going. I need to escape this mission. We talked about his motivation for escaping this mission. Was it that he didn't want these non-Jews? There's handouts in the back, two handouts, right there. Was it that he didn't want these non-Jews to have a chance? Okay. Was it that he was afraid that the Jewish people would look worse in comparison because they might repent and the Jews, despite the fact that they've got a million Levim coming to them, don't repent? In any case, he tries to run away. Jan?
There was one other thing I remember from that, sure. And that he was afraid that if they did do tshuva, it wouldn't be sincere.
Right, right. And so, and that would be a mockery. And we're gonna talk about that when we get to chapter 3. Okay? So also the idea that maybe they will do tshuva, so hooray, they're saved. And then, like all of us, after the diet, you kind of, you know, that extra pound comes back, you know, that kind of a thing. And they would say, you see, God really wasn't serious about it. So Yonah has all these different motivations. What does he do? He goes to Tarshish. He goes to the port of Yaffo. He decides he's going to take wherever he can go, and he goes to Tarshish. We're not sure where it is, but wherever it is in Nineveh. And he's on this boat on the sea, and there's a terrible storm. The sailors are all busy praying to their gods. Why is this happening? They try also not only spiritual means of rescue by praying to their gods, but also logical things. They seek to lighten the load. They throw out all the stuff from the boat. And in the meantime, Yonah's down at the bottom of the boat, fast asleep. The captain comes and says to him, what are you doing sleeping? Wake up. You know, everybody else is praying to their God. You pray to your God as well. And Yonah says, well, it's the storm's because of me. So the people say, I'm sorry, I skipped, okay? And then the people say to him, who are you? What are you? Where are you from? Like, what is causing this storm to happen? This must be supernatural. And he says to them, we talked about this a little bit, about the idea, he says to them, Ivri Anochi, I am a Hebrew. I am from the other side. I am different and distinct from you. I fear God who made heaven and earth. And then he tells them, I'm trying to run away from this God who made heaven and earth. They say, you crazy? He says, you know what? The storm is because of me. Throw me into the water, and then the storm will stop. And we talked about the fact that they didn't really want to do that. They tried rowing back to shore. It didn't succeed. When they saw that it didn't succeed, then they had no choice. What do? They throw Yonah into the water, and the storm ceases immediately. And out of awe and reverence, that's it. They swear, you know, they make vows. Are the vows to convert? Are the vows to offer sacrifices? Something positively spiritual has happened to these sailors. And I forgot his name, who was sitting here. And was like, that I'm dissing the sailors, okay? I'm not dissing the sailors, okay? I just, in general, there's certain categories of employment that tend to go to certain categories of people. Sailors were not well respected in the ancient world. So that if these, and by the way, in more recent times also, okay, these are people that are away for months on end. They really are not in polite society for whatever. They tend to become very dog-eat-dog kind of an existence. The fact that these people recognize God, when Yonah didn't even want them to, I think tells you how great Yonah could have been if he tried, if he would have said to them, let's serve God. So Yonah seems to achieve his goal. Okay, he's not going to Nineveh because now he's bobbing around in the water until we get to Parak Bet. Okay, but I think if you look at the book of Yonah as a series of wake-up calls, he missed the first wake-up call. That first wake-up call was, I think there were two wake-up calls. The wake-up call of the storm, which is, you can't hide. If Hashem wants something to happen, it's going to happen. And the second wake-up call was, look at the sailors. The sailors did everything they could do to keep Yonah from dying. They didn't want to throw him into the water where they were sure he was going to die. Why doesn't Yonah say, well, if they're having mercy on me, why can't I have mercy upon the people of Nineveh and try to help them avert the terrible fate? Now I'm going to come to the next wake-up call in this parak. And the next wake-up call is that even fish listen to God. So Yonah, you should be listening. Okay, so let's start. Pasuk Aleph, it's on the single sheet. Vayiman Hashem Dag Gadol with Loa et Yonah. And God had prepared a great fish to swallow Yonah. Vayihi Yonah b'me'eh ha-dagah shlosha yamim u'shlosha lelot. And he's in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Okay, this word Vayiman... should we do it this way? Okay. Vayiman means that it was prepared. What do you mean God prepared a fish? What does that mean? Everything in the world. God created everything. God created this fish. So let's look at source number 2. Where it says it's prepared. So the Medrash Tanchuman Vayikra says to us, teaches us, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Mimuneh haya hadag misheshet yimei bereishit libloa et Yonah. That God had created that fish. God had appointed that fish from the days of creation. That this was a unique creature. What's so unique about it? He's going to be swallowed and he's going to survive. So this was created in and of itself to be different. I don't think it means that, you know, that the morning of the day that the fish were created, that Hashem said, okay, you're going to swallow Yonah. But that there was something in the creation which would allow for this to happen. Look at what the Radak says. It's right after that. Vayiman Hashem, inyan zimun. It's the idea of preparing something. Kemo asher manah ma'achalchem, as he who has prepared your food, he's decided what it is you're going to eat, which is in the book of Daniel. And God had prepared it at that moment, not way back at creation, but at that moment, says the Radak, God said this fish is going to have a unique mission. When the moment when Yonah was thrown into the sea, he summoned a fish to swallow him. And then he didn't drown, because he's in the fish. Okay, and this is one of the miracles that happened. The Radak goes through all these different miracles that are happening here. And then he quotes the Pirkei of Rabbi Eliezer. Usually when the Radak quotes something at the end, it means he doesn't agree with it. I'm just letting you know what the other guy said. So according to the Pirkei of Rabbi Eliezer, this was from the days of creation. According to the Radak, it's God summoned this fish and said, hello, swallow him up. And that's a miracle that he was swallowed. His handouts in the back, Cheryl. Yes, sir. Okay, so we have this fish. Why a fish? Of all things, why a fish? Why couldn't it be another boat that came along and picked him up? Why a fish? So I think, and this is purely me, okay? First of all, Nineveh, and I gave you the symbol, the cuneiform for Nineveh. Nineveh's symbol was a fish. Okay, it was called the house of the fish. Not only that, I discovered this on Matzei Shabbos, and I was very excited. The word Nineveh can be broken down into Nin, which is Aramaic for fish, and Niveh, which means abode. Okay, so the abode of the fish. So Yonah, you don't want to go to the house of the fish. You know where you're ending up? In the kishkas of the fish. Okay.
What language is it?
I believe it's Aramaic. I have to check. But like, there's a whole story of Yoshua ben Nun, that's why he's called ben Nun, that he was swallowed by a fish as a child. There's a story like that too. Okay, in any case, but Yonah does not want to go to Nineveh. Therefore, he's going to be swallowed up by this fish. And he's going to be inside this fish for 3 days and 3 nights.
So Hashem knew that Yonah was not going to do it. If he prepared,
right. So that's it. Where's your free choice? It's a little difficult. Which is where your free choice. But then again, our cars have airbags and they don't always get used. Baruch Hashem, they don't always get used. So it was there if there would be the need for it. Okay, you know that's a big question. Okay, so he's inside this fish for 3 days and 3 nights. The number 3 is really important. there are a lot of threes, and I just gave you, look at source number four. I was trying to work it out. It should be source number three. I couldn't get that. Okay. But if you see, there's so many things that happen in 3 days. So the first one, anybody know where that's from? Bereshit 22? The Akedah, on the third day, when Avram is traveling to bring Yitzchak to Har Moriah, it's the third day he sees the place. Hosea is a little hard. Okay, Hosea is talking about, it's either talking about the two temples not lasting and then the third one will last, or three different stages of exile of the northern kingdom. It's a discussion between the Radak and the Malbim. But in any case, after 2 days we will be revived, and on the third day we will be raised up and resurrected. And if that sounds like something in other fields of worship, that guess this is where they got it from. Okay, how about the next one? Bayom Eliam Yosef Bayom Hashlishi Zot Asu V'Chayu. Okay, Yosef says to his brothers, they have the whole story with a cup in the sack, and they're in jail, and then he says, this is what you should do, go home. Okay, the next one. It's the Shloshet Yimei Hagbalah, the giving of the Torah. On the third day, we had to wait by that mountain for 3 days. Yehoshua, when the spies go to look at Yericho, okay, they hide for 3 days before they go back to Yehoshua in the Gilgal. In the book of Ezra, when Ezra comes with his aliyah to Yerushalayim, he doesn't enter the city immediately. He waits outside the city for 3 days. He enters on Rosh Chodesh Av. Okay, and finally, in the book of Esther, after 3 days of fasting, she adorns herself and goes to talk to the king and plead for everybody's lives. What's so special about all these threes? What do you see? What's a common thread?
Isn't there the concept of chazakah also?
Okay, there's chazakah. Okay, the 3 days, you're in it. But I want to say actually almost the opposite, Jan.
There's an element of Yeshua.
There's an element of... You're saying Yeshua saved salvation. There's an element of change. There's an element of change of status. Okay, on the third day, now is when Avram is going to accomplish the mission. Until now, he's on the way. On the third day in Hosea, we will be changed, we will be resurrected. On the third day, you want to get out of your troubles, my brothers, who don't know you're my brothers yet, Yosef says, go do this. On the third day, we will now accept the Torah. On the third day, we're ready to start engaging in the conquest of the land. On the third day, we're ready to start entering the land, the city of Yerushalayim, by Shivat Zion. On the third day, Esther is ready to plead for the people. So the third day, that 3 day period throughout Tanakh represents a need for transition and the accomplishment of that transition. So we would assume, therefore, that here Yonah is going to undergo some kind of a transition. What do we hope the transition is? That he's going to realize God's the boss. And guess what? It will happen. Okay, so what happens? Pasuk, I just put down my sheet. Sorry. Okay, so what happens? Pasuk bet. Vayitpalel Yonah l'Hashem Elokav. Mimei hadaga. He davens to Hashem, his God. Notice his God. He's like stepping up to a relationship, okay? From the belly of the daga. Okay, what's the difference between a dag and a daga? Okay, right? The first verse it said dag, a fish, and the second verse it says daga, a fish.
Daga is a species. Zachan
and Kevah. So one thing, which one swallowed him? Zachan and Kevah, which one swallowed him? Okay. Esther?
Maybe it was a dab before he started davening, but the hay was maybe for
the dab. Ooh. That's nice. Okay, that's a nice idea. Okay, anyone else? There was a hand up over here. Well, let's see. The Ibn Ezra says, I'm sorry, I don't know names. Behind Esther. As Menachem said. Okay, my son's Menachem. No wonder you're smart. Okay. Even Ezra says, V'yesh mi she'omer ki daga bila'a hadag. Okay, bala'a hadag. That there was a boy fish that swallowed Yonah. And then a girl fish came along and swallowed that fish. Kind of like in the cartoons when you see one fish swallowing the other. Okay? The Ein Tzorech, Ki Daga V'Dag, Shem Hamin. He says, you know what? They're both names of the species. It doesn't, sometimes you'll call it Dag, sometimes you'll call it Daga. Kemo Tzedek Utztaka. The word Tzedek and Tztaka are related. He says, they're related. So it's all one big species.
That would make sense anyway.
Why?
Because the dog was the biggest fish. So how could the Daga swallow the dog?
Because you don't mess with the female of the species. Okay? And but you're right. It says Dag Gadol. Okay? So why does it say Daga Gadola in Ma'od? Yes?
Back to my point by Makat Dam.
Yeah.
We're going to get to it.
Wait, so what does that mean? So he prayed to God from the kishkes of the species? How does that fit? But you gave a great... We're going to use your pasuk in a minute. Okay, the Gemara in Nedarim says, Dilma paltei da gadol, malei da katan. Maybe the big fish spit him out, and then a smaller fish swallowed him. So he's like, he's on the local. Okay, Rashi says, Dagado, Zachar haya. It was a male fish. V'haya omeg berevach. And Yonah had enough room there. He was comfortable. Okay, V'lona tam lev lehit palel. So he didn't bother davening. You know what? I don't want to go to Ninveh. I'm doing fine inside this fish. I'm comfortable. I don't have to go take care of my mission. So I'm all set. Ramaz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ladag. So God hinted, I guess inspired, the fish. So the fish spit him out into the mouth of a female fish that happened to be passing by. What's with the female fish? Shaitam Leya Ubrin. It was full of fish embryos. Like picture the roe inside a fish. Vahayasham Badochak. So he was kvetched. He was stuck over there. And that's why he davens there, Shene'emar, Meme'e Hadaga, from the belly of the female fish. So that's Rashi. I think these are all interesting, but I love the Rabbeinu Bechaye. Did you turn the page and see the Rabbeinu Bechaye? Oh, you did? Okay. So look at Rabbeinu Bechaye. We're not going to do it inside. Rabbeinu Bechaye says, Dog is when it's alive, Daga is when it's dead. And he says, what happens is, God prepares a dug, a live fish, and it swallows up Yonah. And Yonah, once it swallowed Yonah, it accomplished its mission in life. Therefore, it dies. So where is Yonah? He's in the Me'e Hadagah. He's inside a dead fish, which is not at all pleasant. Okay? And he says, Rabbeinu Bechaye goes on and says, it's a miracle because Yonah's going to see, we're going to see in the song now, it's going to talk about being in the depths. Anybody here have goldfish ever? No. What happens when the goldfish dies? Why on top, belly up on top. He says, so why would the fish wasn't on top? That was a miracle. But after Yonah davens, then go to the last pasuk in our chapter, Vayomer Hashem Ladad, God spoke to the fish, and it spills Yonah out, it spits Yonah out. That the fish had tchias ha-mesim. Then he revived the fish because Yonah davens and he's in such pain. So God says, okay, it will come back to life and it will spit you out. But the reason I was saying that it was nice that you said about the daga was that makes so much sense. Because what fish are we talking about in Egypt?
Dead fish.
So they're daga because they're dead. They're not dags, they're daga, because they are dead. If you're interested, you can, just in the interest of time, I'm not going to do it inside, but you can see this, you can see it inside. So did this story, before we get to Yonah's prayer, okay, did this story really happen or not? Okay, this and just, I said when people came in, I said extra credit, if anybody can identify the picture at the bottom. Okay, does anyone know what that is? It's Pinocchio. Who said that? Okay, great. It's Pinocchio from the Disney movie Pinocchio. Pinocchio and Geppetto also get swallowed up. And you see, he's got plenty of room. He's doing his laundry. Okay? So I just thought that was a cute thing.
That's because he's in a dog, not a dog.
Because he's in a dog and not in a dog. All right. They held like Rashi. Okay. So did this really happen or not? And the answer is, I don't know. Okay, last week, I just gave it to you in the English again this week. The Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, Just as a person envisions in a dream that he travels to a foreign land, marries a woman, lives there for a while, and has a son whom he names Plony, number one, and he has such and such involvements, so are these prophetic parables. Anytime the parable mentions an act or conversation with the prophet, that's all the prophetic vision. When a prophet says, and God said to me, there's no need to clarify it's in a dream, says the Rambam. Doubtless, this applies to Yechezkel's vision, Yeshaya, Yirmiyahu, Hosea. Hosea's the most amazing one. He's told to marry a prostitute. Did a Navi really marry a prostitute? So the Rambam says, no, he had this dream that he married a prostitute. And from what I have mentioned, you may take proof for that which I have not mentioned. It is all along one path in prophetic visions. So according to the Rambam, this is some kind of a vision that Yonah is having. I don't know where he starts the vision. Did it start from when he tried to run away? In other words, does he have a prophecy that he's on a boat and that there's a storm? Or does the prophecy begin from over here? I'm not clear. The Gemara, however, in talking about the different fast days, the order for fast days, when they would fast for rain, they would recite, after laning, they would recite a series of brachas, and it says, Allah Shishitu Omer, what's the sixth blessing that he says? Misha ana et yonah mimi'e hadaga, the God who answered Yonah in this, inside the fish, Hu yaneh etchem, he should answer you, v'yishma b'kol tzakatchem, and hear the sounds of your cries, v'yom hazeh today, baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, ha'oneh be'et tzara, who answers the people in a time of need. I can't see that a bracha should be made up about the God who answered Yonah in his vision. This had to be a real salvation. So I don't know which it is. I think either reading works. But and let's see what we can learn from this event. In any case, we're not experiencing it. What is it that we can learn from this event? Okay, so we're going to look at Yonah's song right now. And what we're going to do is, okay, we're going to go through it once, like sort of the pshat with some attention to details in it. And then if we have time, I want to spend some time on the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer because it's really, really, really awesome. Okay, so Yonah now finally starts davening. Once he realizes there is nothing else for him, he starts to daven. And what is his prayer? Vayomer, Pasuk Gimel. Karati mitzara li el Hashem. I called out for my travail to Hashem. Vayaneni, and he responded. Mibeten she'ol shivati, from the depths of the netherworld, I called out. I cried. Shamata koli, you heard my voice. So a couple of things about this pasuk. Anybody here was like really good at grammar?
Well, it's in the past tense.
It's in the past tense. When you daven, you say, please give me, please help me. Why is this in the past tense? So this is, the Ibn Ezra says, that when a Navi davens, he davens in the past tense. Because he knows, he's so sure that it's going to happen, he davens in what's called, he calls it, ha'avar ha'nivu'i, the prophetic past. Okay, so that's great that you have this idea that it's in the past tense because he's so sure once he starts davening, because remember, he's davening El Hashem, El Okav. He feels this relationship already. He is God. But something else about the grammar of this pasuk. I cried out in my pain to God and he answered me. From the belly of the netherworld I cried out and you heard my voice. Okay, what about it? No, shamata is past, but it's second person. Okay, first he says in the third person, I called out and Hashem answered me, and then he says, and I called out and you heard me. So you kind of see how he's moving in his relationship. He's feeling closer and closer. Yes?
By the time he gets to Pasuk Yud,
but it's talking about himself. He's making the vow about himself.
Is it part of the Shira?
It's part of the Shira, but I think it's a vow of thanks. Okay, we'll get to it. Okay, so I just pointed out also, I don't know if you can see that it's bolded, the shins over there. Just you can hear that this is really written to be heard out loud. Okay, mi beten she'ol shivati shamata koli. So what happened? Vatashlicheni mitzula bilivav yamim. You threw me into the depths, into the heart of the seas. Vinahar yisoveveni. And a flood or a current, a sea current, surrounds me. Kol mishparecha v'galecha alai avaru. All your waves that break, right, the breakers, and your waves pass over me. So he says, I was thrown into the depths of the sea. I'm totally helpless. I have nothing to look forward to. V'ani amarti, what did I say? Nigrashti mineged einecha. I was chased away from before your eyes. And then he says, but no. I know that later on I realize, I'm going to be able to see the Beit HaMikdash. This is the big turnaround. I'm going to be saved. I'm at the bottom and I say, no, where do I will be able to return to land and I will be able to relate to Hashem. Now, he expresses this thing of distance, a sense of that, you know, he's cut off from everybody else. I just skipped something, okay? And although he doesn't mention death directly, we have that, I think, echoed also in Tehillim, source number six in Tehillim, we say, Va'ani amarti b'chofsi, I say in my haste, okay? Nigrasti mineged einecha, it shouldn't be nigzarti? Nigzarti mineged einecha, okay? I've been cut off from before your eyes. Achen shamata kol tachanunai, but you heard my supplications b'shavi elecha when I called out to you. So this you have the same idea of I'm cut off. It doesn't directly mention death, but he says I've been chased away. Who else was chased away? Who else was distanced? That we know in Tanakh, sent into the first exile. How about Adam and Chava? Okay, Adam and Chava both disobey. That's why I gave you who else's distance. Okay, they also disobey a direct command from Hashem. Hashem says, don't eat. They eat. They also try to hide. And they're also evicted from in front of Hashem. They're evicted from Gan Eden. But what do we always try to return? We, the human race, the descendants, are continually trying to return to that place again. So too, I think, Yonah over here is saying, I've been chased away, I've been exiled, but now I want to go, I want to return, I want to turn back. Okay. He goes on and he says, okay, and Rashi says, just source number eight, Rashi says, Ra'iti shekiyam tani kol elu hayamim. I know you kept me alive for these 3 days. Yadati ki osif la'abit elecha kochecha. I knew that I would once again be able to see the Beit HaMikdash. And if you remember, we talked about last week that Yonah became prophetically inspired when he was in the Beit HaMikdash. So he says, I know I'm going to go back to that situation once again. Pasuk vav, afafuni mayim ad nefesh. The water has surrounded me up until my soul, meaning I'm going to die. To home yourself of any, the depths are surrounding me. Suf chavush l'roshi, reeds are wrapped around my head. And this really sounds so Tehillim-y, okay? So I just gave you two places that source number nine, two different places where it really sounds very much like that. Afafuni chavle mavet. Okay, the cords of death have surrounded me. And so too, in general, if you look at Tehillim 69, I think this is really Yonah talking, not David HaMelech. Hoshi'eni Elokim kibau mayim ad nafesh. Please save me because the water is coming into my soul. Tavati, I sank. Biyiven mitzula, into the deep mud. But yiven ninvei, I don't know. Okay, maybe Yonah. Okay, the ein ma'amad, and I can't stand up. Bati v'ma'amakei mayim, I've come into the deepest of waters. V'shibolet shitaftani, and the deep floods are overwhelming me. So I think there's a lot of echoes over here of Tehillim. I also think the word suf, when he says the reeds, what's another word? What are some Hebrew words for storms? Sa'ara and also sufa. Okay, that maybe he's acknowledging that the storm was what brought him to be all the way down there. So the Radak, it's just interesting. The Radak says, Suf Chavush L'Roshi. He says, why is it called Suf? He says, because it grows on the Safa, on the edge, the reeds that grow on the edge of the riverbank. And then he says, I just love it because the Radak is living in the 1200s. And what does he say? V'yesh mimenu shegadel v'karka hayam. There are those species that grow at the sea floor. V'ikrei haharim, the foundations of the mountains that are underwater. V'hu shekorin lo algae. Okay, and that's what we call algae. Belaz
in French.
No, not belaz. Only means French in Rashi. It means lashon amzar, the nation, the language of a foreign nation. Okay, v'hudak v'aroch, it's skinny and long. V'nichrach v'roshei hadagim, and it gets wrapped around the heads of the fish. And I gave you a picture of that. It's not such a great picture. I'm sorry. Okay, v'zeo shomer suf kavush l'roshi. Who's he talking about? He's not even talking about himself. He's in the fish. He says there's reeds wrapped around the head of the fish. Now the fish is stuck. I'm even in more trouble. But I say no. I know I can rely on Hashem. And then he goes on, he continues, and he says, "Lekitzvei harim yaradati. I went down to the depths of the bottoms of the mountains. Ha'aretz biricheha ba'adila olam. The earth is locked up. The earth is barred. Okay, against me. I can't get up. I figure I'm stuck. Vata'al mishachat chayai. And you have brought my soul up, my life up from the pit. Hashem Elokai, my God." So he's giving credit to Hashem for his future salvation. Behit atef alai nafshi, okay, when my soul was fainting within me, et Hashem zacharti, I remember Hashem. Vatavo elecha tfilati, and my prayer came to you, el hechal kodshecha, again, he's directing it towards the Beit HaMikdash. We know that we're always supposed to pray in the direction of the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, Mishamrim, this is a hard pasuk. Okay, Mishamrim Havle Shav. Those that preserve Narishkeit, Chazdam Yazovul will forsake their mercy. What the heck does this mean? So there are a couple of possibilities. One is Mishamrim those who are anticipating or waiting for or preserving the help of those who won't help. Meaning, who's he talking about? Idols. Okay? Those who, he says, they don't get it. Those who wait for the help of Avodah Zarah, chazdam ya'azovu, at the end, they will forget their chesed. They won't either. It means they won't keep their promise. Because they said, oh, you're going to save me, I'm going to give a donation. But now they realize that it was false, so they're not going to give that donation. Or a more positive thing is that those who formerly looked for these vanities, these narishkeit, chazdam ya'azovu, will forsake their love for their avodah zarah. And now they're going to get it. They're going to realize that Hashem is the right one. Similar to what we saw at the end of Perek Aleph, what happened? What did the sailors do? They davened to Hashem and they made vows to Hashem. Okay, so we can look at it either positively or negatively. V'ani and I. So if it's a negative thing, then it's the v'ani is an opposition. But I, b'kol toda es b'chalach, I will with Thanksgiving will offer you a sacrifice. Asher nadarti ashalema, what I promised I will pay. Yeshua tala Hashem, salvation comes from Hashem. We're going to come to the last pasuk in a moment. But what is going on here? What is he saying here? What is he describing? What's he saying? He's saying when I get saved, I will fulfill my vow. And this is seen as one of the sources of the custom that when somebody has a tzara, that they'll make a neder and they'll say, I will do such and such and such, because in order to be saved, but as in recognition of my hope that I will be saved. So I will keep my vow. What's the vow that he makes? There's two possibilities. Ah, beautiful. Either that, okay, Hashem, you're right, I'm going to go to Ninveh, or that I'm going to offer sacrifices. But we see him doing again what the sailors did as well. So let's take a second and let's look at the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, because it's really awesome, and I'm moving along over here. Look at what Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says. It's long, and it's a little bit out of character for me. I'm going to be honest, because it's very midrashic, but I think there's something that we can get out of it. So let's do it. Rabbi Tarfon Omer. Okay, we said this before. Mimuna ayal to adag l'chot yonah misheshet me'abreshet. This fish was ready from the time of creation. Shene emar, as it says, v'yamen Hashem dag gadol l'chlo ad yonah. Quotes our pasuk. Nichnas b'piv, ka'adam shel nichnas b'beit ha'kneset ha'gdola. He enters the fish, just like somebody is walking into a big shul, not even a beis mishdimo. V'amad, and he's able to stand up. And the eyes were like windows of some kind of glass giving him light. So what does he need? He's safe. He's kind of dry. Okay, he's got light. He doesn't feel like he's not in sensory deprivation or anything. Okay, and not only that, Rabbi Meir Omer, Magalita chat haitak tluya b'mei avshel adag meira liyona kishemesh. There was a pearl that was in the middle of the fish, the belly of the fish, and it lit up like the sun at noon. Umar alo kol ma shebayam ubatahomot, and it showed him he could see with his light everything that was in the sea and in the depth. Va'alava katuv omer or zaru ala tzadik, that there's a light that's kept away, that's embedded someplace for a tzaddik. So this Yonah is now a tzaddik in the fit. Maybe that's also the Yom Kippur connection. We say Orzaru al tzaddik before Kol Nivrei. I don't know. Amar lo hadag li Yonah. Okay, the fish says to Yonah. Okay, he's been hanging out there for 3 days. Ein atayodeh sheba yomi leheachel bepiv shel Leviathan. Today's my turn to be fed to the Leviathan. Leviathan is the biggest fish in the world. Today's my day to be fed. This is my job today. I'm going to be fed. Amar lo Yonah. Yonah says, "Holy Haney, it's low. Take me to the Leviathan." Amar Yonah la Leviathan. He says to the Leviathan. Yonah says to Leviathan, "Bishvilcha yaradati lirot makom midurecha. I've come down to the sea to see where you live because of you. Sha'ani atid litein chevel bilshoncha." In the future, I'm going to put a cord or a rope in your tongue, ulahalotcha, and to bring you up, I'm going to be a very good fisherman. Ulizbach otcha l'suuda hagdola shel tzadikim, and I'm going to butcher you for the feast of the tzadikim, meaning when Mashiach comes, right? So what are we going to eat? Shor habar, v'liv yasad. But this is the, you know, this is what we're going to have when Mashiach comes, the famous suuda. So what does he do? And Yonah shows him her ahu. Chotmo shel Avraham. He shows him that he's circumcised. He shows him the seal of Avram. Amar, and he said to him, Habet labrit. Look at the sign of the covenant. This is how you should know I am the emissary that is going to do this, because I am circumcised. What does the Leviathan do? V'ra'a Leviathan v'barach mifnei Yonah malach shnei yamim. He ran, the Leviathan saw it, and he ran away from him to a distance of 2 days' journey. So what is Yonah do now? He says to the fish, "You owe me." Amarlo, Hare hitzilkicha mipiv shel Leviathan. I've saved you from the mouth of the Leviathan. Hareini kol ma shebayam ubatahomot. Show me everything. V'herahu, he showed him nahar gadol shel meimei okeanus, the current under the waters of the ocean. I think to me this is amazing that they were aware of the existence of sea currents, because what I understood. I was reading something a few weeks ago that Benjamin Franklin was the first person to map sea currents based on temperature. When he was coming back from France to America, he had a brand new thermometer, and he played with it by sticking it into the water and figuring out where it was warmer and where it was cooler to map the sea currents. That's in 1776, 77, 78. This is way back when, that the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, it's a pretty early medrash, but it's still amazing that they had this concept of the geography. Shene Emar, as it says, to home Yisoveveni, the depth surrounding. There Aru Yamsuf Shavru B'tochol Yisrael. Now they did a little touring. Okay, they saw the Yamsuf where the Jews passed through the Yamsuf. Shene Emar, Suf Chavush L'Roshim, word Suf. He showed him the source of the waves. Where do waves start from? He showed him the foundations of the earth. That the locks of the beams of the world are in front of me. By the way, also an amazing thought, because in the ancient world they thought that the ocean continued to ocean. They didn't realize that there was land under the very depths of the ocean. Ve'ra'u Gehenim, and he showed him Gehenim, she'ne'emar, v'tal mishachat chayai Hashem Elokai. Ve'ra'u she'ol tachtid, I'm not an expert in Gehenim, he showed him an even lower Gehenim, she'ne'emar, mibetin she'ol shavati shamat akulim. Ve'ra'u heichal Hashem, and he showed him the sanctuary. He showed in the Beis Hamikdash, she'ne'emar, l'kitzvei harim yaradati. I went down to the edges, to the bottom of the mountain. Mikan anu l'meidin, shal Yerushalayim al shiva harim hi omedet. The Yerushalayim stands on seven hills, and he went down to the bottoms of the hills, because Yerushalayim harim saviv la. It's lower. Okay, by the way, I think that this seven hills, what other city is built on seven hills?
Rome.
So it's the contrast. It's a little propaganda here that we are not Rome. We're the ones that sit on the seven hills. Okay? Herau Evan Shitia Kfu'a B'Tehomot Tachat Heichal Hashem. And he showed him the Evan Shitia, the foundation stone, which now you can go and see where it is under a big gold dome. Okay? And that it was deep, it was stuck to the depths. Okay, and what's happening over there? This I don't understand, even less than I understand the rest of it. And B'nai Korach, the children of Korach, are standing there and davening because B'nai Korach, lo meitu. They didn't talk, so they're standing there and davening. Amar lo hadag. The fish says to him, Yonah, hare ata umei tachat heichal Hashem. Hit palel, v'atana emeh. You're standing right under the Beis HaMikdash. Daven, and you'll be answered. You know the famous joke? Can I tell a joke?
Sure.
Okay. So Henry Kissinger comes to Israel. Golda Meir is the prime minister, and she takes him. Where do you take the dignitaries? Yad Vashem. One of the places is the Western Wall. And she says to him, Henry, you write anything you want on a note, and you put it in the wall, and God answers your prayers. So he thinks for a minute, and he writes something on the note, and he puts it in. She goes, Henry, what do you write? He says, I want to be attractive to women. She goes, Henry, God answers your prayers. You're the holiest place in the world. Write another note. Another note, write another note. What do you write? I want Nixon should win the next election. She goes, Henry, you're the holiest place in the world. You could, whatever you write, God will answer your prayers. He writes another note. He puts it in. She goes, what do you write? He says, I want the Israelis to give back the West Bank. She goes, you know you're talking to a wall. Okay, so here, Yonah, you're by the Beis HaMikdash, you're not talking to a wall. Okay, go ahead and daven. Okay, I couldn't miss this one. Amar Yonah Ladag. So Yonah says to the fish, Amod b'makom emdecha sh'ani mevakesh lipalel. You got to stop. The fish has to stop moving so that I can daven. Amar Hadag, the fish stood, okay, stop. V'yitchil Yonah lipalel lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yonah starts to daven. V'amar lifanav, and he said, Rabbani Shlomo, Nikreta morid ume'aleh. You are called the one who can bring down and raise up. Yaradati, I went down. Ha'aleini, please pick me up. Nikreta meimit ume'chayeh. You're called the one who kills and who resurrects. Harei nafshi higia l'mavet. I was ready to die. Ha'chayeni, resurrect me. V'lo na'aneh. God does, nothing happens. Ad sheyatza mipiv davar zeh va'amar. Until these words came out of his mouth. Asher nadarti ashalema. That which I have sworn I will pay. Asher nadarti. Now what do you think his oath is? Till now. We said his oath is maybe to go to Nineveh, maybe to Ophir. No. His oath is, Asher nadarti lahalot et Leviathan v'lizboach oto lefanecha. That which I promised to pull. I told Leviathan, I'm going to pull you up and make you into fish fillet, okay? Ashalein b'yom Yeshuat Yisrael. I will do that on the day that the Jews are saved, meaning when Mashiach comes. Miyad ramaz HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shlichat Yonah. That, and then immediately God made the fish spit out Yonah. understand what's going on here. What is going on in this medrash? It's really this medrash, I think, gives it kind of gives people what kind of wacky things do people learn about? Okay, so any ideas over here? What he's talking about? Any suggestions? What's going on? What's he talking about? He sees everything. He sees the whole world. He sees the depths of the oceans. He sees the foundations of the world. He sees the place of the Beis HaMikdash. And he's the only way he's going to be saved, even though he was exposed to all this, is when he promises to fulfill an oath, which is a very strange oath. The oath is, I'm going to take the Leviathan, and I'm going to cut it up. So what is this Leviathan all about? What does it represent? Oh, that's an easy answer. Okay. Okay, there's a word in the middle of Leviathan. First of all, does it sound a little Yonah and Nineveh-ish?
Yeah.
Leviathan, Nineveh, Yonah, like you hear the same sound. But I think we have a pasuk in Mishle, which is Leviathan. Okay, you adornments. Okay, Legagarotecha, you're wearing adornments on your neck. I think that Leviathan represents external beauty, materialistic things. Oh, sorry?
Yavan.
Okay, thank you. I was going to get to it, but you got to it for me. Okay, Yavan, Greece. Okay, Yaft Elohim Liyafet, right? The beauty is in the Grecian culture, okay? But it needs to be harnessed. I need to put a rope into the... I need to put a rope into you and pull you to serve me. I think that what's happening over here in this medrash is that the medrash is telling us beauty, there's a need for beauty. Yafet Elokim liyafet. V'hu yishkon bolei shame. But where does God reside? In the tents of shame, in our tents. Yavan represents knowledge for knowledge's sake. There's a thing called in the Gemara, we talk about chachma yivanit. Okay, Grecian wisdom, and people are cursed if they teach their children the Grecian wisdom. Okay, but it's something that really appears very seductive, and beauty is, that's what it is. But we need to be very careful in our approach to it. So what I think what the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer is saying over here is, Yonah needed to be exposed to all this because he's going out of his Dalet Amos. He's going to Nineveh. He has to go. He's going to a foreign culture, and he needs to be able to relate to that foreign culture. And that Leviathan that represents that foreign culture, and maybe also, you said Yetzer Hara, and I'm going to refine that a little bit. Okay, what does a fish represent? Fertility. It's always right. The Yidgula Rov. Okay, so maybe it's also this idea of bodily, of lust, and of body, the desire for procreation. He needs to be able to harness it. He says the way we're going to succeed, how we're going to get to Yimot HaMashiach, is that we need to restrain it. We need to harness it in order to be able to deal with that. I'm thinking also, I just thought of this now, the word in Tehillim for mud. Yiven. Okay, we had it over here in the source. In source number. Sorry, one second. Look at source number 9. Okay, Pasuk Gimel in the second section of the field. Tavati biven mitzula. That means mud. Okay, it's like what? That's part of Yonah's name over there. And then he has the hay of Hashem. Maybe that. I don't know. I just thought of that now. Okay, I have to develop it a little bit better. Okay, so but I think that what Yonah needs to do is he realizes that he needs to hook and drag this Leviathan in order to be able to deal with the people of Nineveh so that we can ultimately complete his mission. He needs to be able to channel it and to harness it. I think that there's And that's what saves him, that he says, I will take care of this and I will deal with it. Now,
Where do you see the word Yavan and Leviathan?
Just the letters, the same letters.
Uh-huh. If you play around.
Yeah, just like the same.
You'll see that Yonah.
And what? And Yonah, right. Okay, now, two things before we end the, before we, actually, let's do the last pasuk, and then we'll say those two things. Okay, so the last pasuk, I lost my... Give me 1 second, okay? Vayomer Hashem Ladag, God spoke to the fish. Vayakeit Yonah Aleyabasha, and it spits out Yonah onto the dry land. So remember we talked about chiastic structure?
Yeah.
Okay, this idea. So this parak really has a beautiful structure, and I gave it to you in source number 14. Okay? In the beginning, the fish swallows Yonah. The numbers represent the psukim, okay? Then Yonah prays from the depths. Then he feels that he's descended from Hashem, that he's going lower and lower and lower till he hits rock bottom. When he hits rock bottom, what happens? He turns around. He starts describing how he will ascend from the depth, how he will daven in the Beis HaMikdash, and then ultimately the fish spits him out. Okay, I'm sorry I cut you off.
But back to the Midrash.
Yeah.
I see another message here.
Okay, go ahead.
And that the Rabbi Yossan is going to be serving in the days of Mashiach.
Right.
Yonah's concern was that his trip to Nineveh would be bad for the Jews.
Right, but
the message that he gets is that, no, the Jews will be redeemed.
At the end of the day, that's beautiful.
If you go on your trip, the Jews will be, it's opposite of what you're feeling.
That is beautiful, that it's going, at the end of the day, even if they repent, at the end of the day, we're going to survive. Okay, and it's interesting because what happens is we know from the Navi Nachum HaNavi reprimands Nineveh, and he comes after Yonah, which means they do tshuva, spoiler alert, they're going to do tshuva next week, okay, but it's a flash in the pan. At the end of the day, we return, you know, they go back to what they do what Yonah was afraid of, and they do backslide. And at the end, who is it that survives? We're the ones who survive. And maybe that's the lesson of Yom Kippur. How do we end Yom Kippur? What's the last thing we do? Shema, Baruch Shem, Hashem Wolakim. Where did Hashem Wolakim come from? It's a quote. It's a pasuk.
Yeah, it comes from Har Carmel. Elio
and Har Carmel. Biggest confrontation, the hot snow. What's it called? Showdown at high noon, Eliyahu and 400 prophets of the Baal, and there's these miracles, and all these people who until then have been busy worshiping Baal every day and every night, they're busy yelling, Hashem Elohim, they slaughter the prophets, and the next day they're back to serving Avodah Zarah. Okay, what are we doing ending our Yom Kippur with that? What are we doing reading about the story of the repentance of our enemies on Yom Kippur? I think it's because at that moment, It was right at that moment. The repentance was. That's what Hashem's looking at. He's looking at that moment. The Hashem Elohim stays with us forever.
Alibi would be that easy.
Oh, the truth.
And realistically, we also slide back.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's why we end with Hashem Elohim. That's why 30 seconds after you said Shema and Baruch Shem out loud, you say Baruch Hu, and then you say Shema and Marin. What are you doing? You're saying Baruch Shem quietly because you're no longer an angel. But for that one moment, that's what Hashem wants. He wants that flesh. Then if you can, as you said, if you can grow and make it go further, that's a wonderful thing. So just, I always like to look for art that relates to what I teach. Okay? And this is from the Lisbon Bible, which is in the collection of NYU. I think it's on loan now to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. It was written and illuminated by Jews, and I just thought it's a great picture of Yonah going into the belly, into the fish. So I thought that you would enjoy that. So look at what we're up to over here. We have Yonah, who has made, he's realized that he did something, he's changed. There definitely is a change in Yonah. And think about it, even in terms of the symbolism, he's inside another creature, and then he's expelled from that creature. What does that sound like?
Like being reborn.
Okay, I haven't quoted that passage from Moshe. I'm hesitant to use rebirth and resurrection. But the idea of birth. Okay, Yonah is now being born. This is terrible. Okay, Yonah is now being Gilgal. I'm saying that he's...
Not terrible. I mean, Jews and Christians do share.
Right, but born again just has a certain resonance, okay? So Yonah is really being born again, and now he's going to have a second chance. And we're going to see the next parak, he's going to have a second chance. And maybe that's the message of Yom Kippur, that you're given another chance. that you have that opportunity to think about how you act, how you relate to the world, how you relate to Hashem, how you relate to everything else. 1 second, Jen. And that's the maybe that's the message of maybe one of the messages of the book. When I'm saying, just want to say one thing, Rav Asher Weiss, my favorite line from Rav Asher, and there are many, many wonderful things that he says. When he says, when you talk about how you think about how you relate to the world and how you relate to your fellow man, he says, and how you relate to Hashem, he says, we need more passion in dealing with Hashem and more compassion in dealing with each other. Usually we do it the other way around. Okay, Jen.
And